Chris, you got Chris Frank?
Oh. We should put them all together, Chris.
Yes, that, like, that was on purpose, and I'm grateful that
I
was
perfect. I like your answer.
At our last meeting last month, there was a discussion about whether or not the city would be best served with the formation of an audit committee. I personally have tried in two of my previous positions as director to get an audit committee in place. And I was told each time that, you know, that's not in our best interest. So I was actually excited that it was suggested without my nudging. And what I have before you this evening consider, again, for edits and comments, is an audit committee policy that outlines the framework, the general guidelines, ethics, responsibilities, the makeup of the committee itself, and would entertain, if this is the direction you still want to go, any comments related to this policy.
Danny, go ahead.
I'm delighted to see we're going to have an audit committee. I would like to add one of the functions, the authorities and responsibilities of the committee, to include the fact that the audit committee will, in fact, interview and set the scope and responsibilities of the audit, or direction of the audit, because we really want the auditors to look out for and be involved in the front end of this thing.
Danny, can you speak up just a hair? We're old guys that have a hard time hearing.
I
can hear that. This.
I would like to actually answer your question by directing you to page 4 of the document. Under paragraph C, the second section of letters there, responsibilities of the audit committee shall include reviewing and providing comment on the annual audit plans, budgets, and schedules. And then the next sentence reads, it is not appropriate for the audit committee to attempt to limit the scope of the audit. However, it is appropriate to query both management and the auditor about requirements that could be made that would enable the auditor to reduce their scope of work. So what you're wanting to do in that being work with the auditor to make sure specific issues are looked at and addressed, internal controls are monitored, etc., is included in this document.
The audit committee, the job of an audit committee is not just gather in the town and kind of take a swag at it. You got to have some qualifications to be on the audit committee.
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of smart folks in this town. I imagine we can come up with it, but I think the one thing, if we're going to go through our normal process of, you know, all of us coming up with somebody, it's going to be very difficult. So how we come up with an audit committee, you know, with a cross-section of the city also, is going to be something we're going to have to discuss here. But I think, be on the audit committee, you've got to know some of the accounting principles and things like that, Mike, but being an old marketing major, that doesn't quite handle it here in my company. I think that's just one of the things that I think that we're going to have to look for some specifically qualified folks in the city to sit on this audit committee.
I agree with that completely.
Let me ask this question. The way that this is written, there's 5 members of the audit committee. It's anticipated that 3 of them would be from the community at large, and 2 would be from members of this city council. Do we, for the 3 that would be chosen at large, do we want to waive the requirement that they be Dunwoody residents? And so, for example, have somebody who works in one of the other municipal governments, you know, be able to be appointed if we were to be able to get somebody other than Mike Bell.
Oh, is that Mike Bell?
Yeah, right. But the idea that there might be somebody who's in another metro area who might have experience with municipal, I don't know, do we want to restrict it to Dunwoody residents or do we want to open it up wider? Because we are looking for a cross-section of technical skills, not necessarily a self-interest in Dunwoody. I don't know which way I feel on it, I just thought I'd raise it.
I think the fact that Dunwoody people, CPAs, and people who are taking four or whatever the rest of the instead of domiciled in here, I think a lawyer on this might be appropriate too, because it's going to be absolutely
truth. I did say that. But I think they've got some.
I'll just let me weigh in just real quick, and I'll jump it over here, Tom, you next. I kind of agree with Danny. I think we've got talent in the city, and I would prefer to use our talent. And, you know, one of the things, if I can go back real quick, I forgot to say is that, you know, when they were looking for Acura and the software, you know, there were no, they did look at Dunwoody first. You know, that is the policy we're doing now. We're looking at Dunwoody, making sure that if there's nobody here, then we'll go outside. But all things considered equal, a Dunwoody person, you know, as the lead. And I think we have plenty of talent. If we don't have the talent, then maybe we'll have to revisit that. Tom.
Yeah, Chris, for municipal audit, can you describe, is there any state codification, you know, laws codified that specifically lay out how municipal audit is done versus a corporate audit, which can be?
Oh, absolutely. Corporate audit is governed by FASB standards, Financial Accounting Standards. Governmental audits and governmental accounting is what you heard, I know, 100 times is GASB, Governmental Accounting Board. They issue their own statements, their own rules. We are a completely different beast. So along those lines, I'd like to kind of piggyback on some of your comments. I think there will be a good amount of population out there to choose from locally, but I would encourage you not to limit that to the policy in case you do find that that's not necessarily the case, or because of our fiscal year end also running right into tax season, you may not find them as willing to be generous with their time in working with the auditors when they're also billing out at $500 to $1,000 an hour for tax returns. So I would definitely look local, and I think we'll find the 3 to 5 that you're looking for locally, but I would encourage you not to just limit it to the local.
Anyone else?
Okay. Brian, question I raised earlier, do we have a problem with city council members sitting on the audit committee? Is there a conflict with Chapter 2, or are we okay there?
It is an advisory committee, okay. And as such, council members are allowed in their current Chapter 2 to sit.
Okay. And if I would like to have non-council members on that, personally, but that's just, I think there might be a little conflict there on both sides.
Is there a little bit of conflict also if the council members are on the budget committee and also on the audit committee?
I would think so too.
So it happens.
Okay. And there's, just to be clear too, there's no requirement that y'all appoint anybody, any of the council members either. So it can be 5 people that are outside the council. It just can't be any more than 2 on the council. Okay. So you can do all 5 but not on the council too if that's the pleasure of the council. But we can do 10.
No.
I don't believe it would be subject to the Open Records Act.
Anything we do is going to be subject to Open Records.
Questions? Aren't necessarily subject to Open.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily subject to the Act.
Why don't we take a look at that and come back and kind of clarify that? Somewhere.
I mean, y'all can require that they're open meetings, and that'll take care of it if that's the goal of the council.
Okay.
With your permission, there was one item that was asked of me earlier that I failed to address back in the financial statements. There was a question that was raised over the weekend regarding the fees for accident reports. And I have the information, and I completely slipped my mind. And if you backtrack a little, I'll be glad to tell you a little bit about
that. Without objection from the council?
Currently, the way our process is set up, we will charge third parties for accident reports, such as an insurance company. We won't charge the actual person that's involved in the accident. There is a $5 fee for both incident and accident reports. In-car recording is charged $20, and of course, open records are 25 cents per page, plus the time it takes to get those documents for the first 15 minutes free. That's currently identical to the city of Marietta's setup. Sandy Springs does it a little bit differently. They charge $5 per report, whether you're in the accident or you're in the insurance company or just average Joe walking on the street and want a copy. It's $5. Johns Creek, it's $5 for the accident report, and then it's 25 cents per page for an incident report. So, again, for later discussion or revision, that gives you kind of comparison of what some of the neighboring jurisdictions are doing. And what I'll do here, I'll just hand these out and pass them around so that you'll have something written to look at a later day.
Thank you. Anybody want to comment on that?
Just a quick question. How many requests have we had for accident reports from people we didn't charge?
We don't actually keep a record of how many times individuals who come in identify themselves as the operator, owner of a vehicle, crash, and ask for an accident report. We do keep a record of the amount of monies we have received from requests from insurance companies. And I don't, we're prepared to provide that to you, so I don't have it in front of me. And the thought process on this is that whether you're at fault from a crash or not, whether you're cited or not, the inconvenience factor of having to go through the process of being a victim involved in a crash, you should at least get one copy of your accident report for free. Same if you're the victim of a burglary or theft or a robbery. We look at what the insurance companies do as something else. It's a simple cost for them to get their job, and we charge them for it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Anybody else have a comment on that
Is this something you'd like the police chief or Warren to come back to you on with a revised fee schedule proposal, or just leave it as is?
Why don't you have the staff find the paper and then come back to us at the next meeting? Okay.
Next work session.
This information is available online.
I don't know if I can tell you this because it's confidential in some respects. Got the chief sergeant want to comment on that?
Is it online?
Is this information online for individual jurisdictions?
For us.
I'd have to double check for us. I actually had to call the other jurisdictions to find it to make sure that I was getting accurate information. I was somewhat surprised. At Sandy Springs, for example, in the open record request, staff time is 3 hours. Production of documents is 30 pages. You're losing a lot of staff time. We take the example of the code section says 25 cents a page, you get the first 15 minutes free. That's a good standard to follow. It's one we follow throughout the process. The worst thing anyone can say is that
question for Brian or Lenny. When these come up, does anybody have access to these? Like, if I wanted to go get an incident report on Joe Smith, I can do that?
Yes.
Even while the case is pending?
Accident reports are open record. The only thing really on an investigative document is on the open record. After that, it becomes closed and so it's over.
Okay, and I guess that's what I'm asking because I heard the dash cam tapes or whatever. So if that case turned out to be something more than a traffic stop, say a DUI or something like that, that wouldn't be purchased. Be able to be had before the case was actually closed.
That's a pending investigation.
That's a pending line.
Okay. Accident report is the only thing that's available to anyone who wants to purchase it.
Okay. Thank you.
So therefore, if we were given an out free, anybody could come in and just give us a free.
Yes.
I think we need to take a look at that maybe from the aspect of how much staff time we're taking to do this. We don't need to make money on this, but we need to cover our cost on that. I feel that's justifiable, but that's something to look at and come back with us.
I guess, if you're the non-sighted party in that, in an accident, or you're the victim, or something
requires an incident report. I think, like I said, the first one, you got to get from the city to do anything to incur that.
Usually your insurance company is the one that's paying for it and giving it to your attorney anyway.
Can I ask all of you in the back? Stacy, can you hear them when they're talking here at the podium?
No, I think your voice on the line talking, yeah.
Okay. One, if we could have this next time, can we get some kind of a mic there that would kind of, I know they got the handheld one, but some kind of little project out to the audience to somehow?
I'll see what I can do.
Okay, thanks. Okay, now we'll go back to our normal schedule, and we should be at F6.
Traffic calming.